We are in Luke chapter 13 there. Look down at your Bibles at verse 18. It says, "Then said he unto, what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden. It grew and waxed in a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying through Jerusalem." The title of the sermon this evening is "Till the Whole is Leavened." Till the whole is leavened. Here in Luke chapter 13, Jesus Christ, as he would within the Gospels, is giving a parable. He's giving an explanation in order to kind of put the cookie on the bottom shelf of what the kingdom of God is like. And obviously, heavenly things, it's hard for us to understand them because, you know, we are... Yes, we're saved, but we still have that natural man. We don't know exactly how the eternal exactly looks like. And so a lot of the times in the Gospels, Jesus Christ would try to relate it to something that's physical here in this world. And so he would often give these comparisons to the physical world in order to give us understanding and to help us understand these spiritual truths here. And he says in Luke chapter 13, verse 18, first he talks about how the fact that it's like a grain of a mustard seed. You think of a grain of a mustard seed, it's very small. It's very tiny. And he says that when a man takes it and he puts it into the ground, what happens is that it grows and it becomes a great tree, right? And essentially what I believe this is referring to first and foremost is the fact that it's trying to picture the resurrection, right? Because of the fact, if you think about it, when we die as believers, we're like that grain of a mustard seed that dies, it goes into the ground and comes out something completely different, right? And so the resurrection can be likened unto that grain of mustard seed that goes into the ground. And at the rapture, when we are resurrected, we receive our glorified bodies that's something completely different than what came in. It's something that is sinless, perfect, and glorified. And what he's essentially saying here is that, you know, what you do in this world might seem minimal, it might seem small, it might seem insignificant, but it can produce these eternal dividends. It can become a great tree, right, to the point where the birds of the trees come and lodge, and it benefits others, and it becomes something, it transforms and is glorified into something big. And then he goes on to say, and again he said, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leaven." Now, this is pretty interesting because of the fact that often in the Bible, when we read about leaven, we often have like a negative connotation to it because it's often has with it, you know, a negative association with false doctrine, with sin. And that's very much true. And the reason that the Bible often will use leaven to picture sin, to picture false doctrine, is because the properties of leaven operate the way false doctrine would operate. You understand? And so it's a great illustration to prove that. And when you think about the fact that, you know, when leaven, the bad type of leaven, goes into a church, it goes into a nation, it goes into a person, it only requires just a little bit of leaven to destroy someone's life. It only requires a little bit of leaven unchecked into a church that can destroy a church. You know, you think about the fact that when leaven, known as sin, gets into a person's life, they don't repent of it, they don't confess it, they don't get it right, it begins to grow in them. It begins to grow, and the ramifications are so devastating that it can get someone out of the will of God, it can get someone out of church, it could cause them to stop reading the Bible and get involved in worse sins. That's why it's important that when you have leaven in your life, if there's some unchecked sin in your life, that you check your heart, amen? Amen? That you read the Word of God, you get right with God on a daily basis. You know, we're not of this persuasion that once you get saved, you just come with batteries included. You're never going to struggle with sin ever again. Oh, I have victory over this sin. I'll never have to fight it ever again. No, the fight against the flesh will always be present. That's right. And you know what? You may have conquered a specific bad habit or a sinful habit 10 years ago, but you still need to conquer it today. The fact is, why you say why? Because we need to die daily. Amen. The Bible specifically says that once we get saved, yes, we inherit the new man. And yes, we are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But I don't know if you noticed, but you still have your carcass on top of your bones. That's right. You still have that flesh that desires to do contrary to the Spirit. You still have that old man, as the Bible puts it, that is contrary, that is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Right. And so we constantly have to subjugate the flesh and put it in check and make sure that we're not allowing sins in our life. And look, this is not saying that we're just never going to sin, but you know, once, because we're Christians, we obviously have the conscience, we have the Bible, and we understand, you know what, I'm involved in something I shouldn't be involved in. I need to get this right before it gets out of hand. Yeah, right. I need to get my thought life right before it gets out of hand. I need to get this habit in check before it gets out of hand. You understand? And we identify that little leaven in our life. We clean it up. We confess it before God. We repent of it. We start exercising righteousness in our personal lives. You know, the Bible says, likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He's basically saying, hey, every day you got to subjugate the flesh.
That's right. Amen.
So when that little leaven gets into your life of covetousness, of greed, of lust, of gossiping, of cheating, or whatever it may be, you got to check it and get it out, because that little seed of leaven, that little leaven that gets into your life, can spread. And you say, well, what's wrong with a little bit of lust? What's wrong with a little bit of covetousness? What's wrong with a little bit of greed? And, as long as it doesn't get out of control. But here's the thing. The natural result of just a little sin is that it'll spread and it'll make you worse. And then eventually it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Right. People who are out of church today, I guarantee you, they never would have thought a year before that they would be in that position.
Right.
They allowed some sort of thought in their mind. They allowed some sort of habit in their life that grew and it grew. They left it unchecked to the point where they began to justify their sin, and that leaven spread in their life, and now they're out of church.
Right.
We often want to fight the devil when he's right there, when we know he's there, but we sometimes don't realize that our greatest enemy, although can be Satan, it's often our own flesh.
Right.
Sometimes our greatest enemy isn't necessarily Satan. I'm not excusing Satan, obviously, but we have the world, we have the devil, and we have the flesh that we have to fight against.
Right.
But it all begins with just a little leaven and the devastating ramifications that it can have in our life. That's why you shouldn't despise prophesying, amen?
Amen.
When you're in church, the reason your pastor, the reason we preach hard against sin is because we want to correct that in your life so you don't destroy your life.
Amen.
So when the pastor steps on your toes and begins to call out your sin and you get all embarrassed, you get all red-faced, and you start wondering, is he talking about me? Yes, he's talking about you. Anytime someone tells me, you preach that against me, I'm just, if the shoe fits.
Amen.
Well, I'm not preaching to people who are not in my church. I'm not preaching to the guy across the street. You came here knowing full well that I was going to be preaching. You should expect that I'm preaching about you.
Amen. Right.
And in like manner, and our attitude toward that should be, I need the prophesying of God's word because it keeps me right with God.
Amen.
It helps me to stay right with God. Is it embarrassing? Yeah. Is it uncomfortable when your pastor calls out your specific sin? Yeah, it is. Does it humble you? Yes, absolutely. But that's what we need.
Amen.
To stay right with God.
Good,
the Bible tells us, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and he shall exalt you in due season. But if you're prideful, you're arrogant, you're just resisting that type of preaching, then that means you just have already allowed that leaven to spread in your life.
Yep.
That little leaven can have some devastating ramifications in your personal life. How about sin in the church, right? Sin in the church, if it goes unchecked, if it's not disciplined, if it's not taken care of immediately, can spread to the point where the church becomes a cesspool of iniquity. Of fornication, drunkenness, just permitting all types of false doctrines and heresies. A little false doctrine can destroy a church. A little tolerance of some false doctrine. Now, let me just say this. I'm not referring to just differences of opinion and things that don't really matter.
Right.
You understand? We're not talking about things that have to do with end times. We're not talking about the moon landing or anything like that, whether you deny if it exists or not. Okay, I'm obviously stepping on some toes right here or something. These aren't things to split hairs over. We're talking about those things that can damn a soul,
right?
We're talking about the things that can destroy a person, that can destroy a church. We're talking about the doctrines of Christ,
right.
right? When a person forsakes the doctrines of Christ, when they forsake, you know, biblical repentance, when they misconstrue biblical salvation, when they misconstrue the Trinity, these are things that you cannot mess with. Right. And if you allow a little leaven in the church with that and just tolerate it, it's going to spread.
Right.
And eventually, and you say, well, you know, it'll spread, but, you know, we can just deal with that later. You know, Satan is really patient.
Right.
False prophets can be really patient.
Yep.
You know, they can just wait and wait it out and wait it out and wait it out until they realize it's like the frog in the water who doesn't know that they're about to be lunch. The boiling water is warming up ever so slightly. You know, I just saw a video, it's a reel. And it's a lobster who's walking, and there's like a pan, there's like a pot of boiling water, right? And it's just like the guy doesn't even have to throw the lobster in there. He just puts the lobster on the counter, and the lobster just walks right into it. Just walks right in, and just boom, he just kills himself, you know? And you know what? A lot of churches are doing that. They're just kind of walking into a pot of boiling water because of the fact that they're just leaving their church unchecked from false doctrine. Okay, it can destroy the church. But let me say this, you know, a little leaven in a nation can destroy a church, or can destroy a nation. A little leaven, a little false doctrine in a nation can destroy you. So how do you know that? Well, look at America.
Yeah.
Look at America. You know, America is the greatest nation on the face of the planet, for sure. And, you know, it has a lot of great churches. A lot of soul winning is still being done. The word of God is still being thundered forth. But, man, it's so freaking wicked.
Yeah.
There's so many wicked people there. And, you know, being here has helped me to realize how wicked the next generation is in America. Okay? Because you talk to some of the young people here, they're some of the sweetest, most respectable young people you will ever meet. You know, and but yet over there, it's just like you wouldn't be able to just, you know, post up outside of a Catholic school to win them to Christ because they're so wicked and vile sometimes. They don't want nothing to do with the gospel. Here is like they're willing to give you the time of day. You say, well, what is that a reflection of? It's a reflection of the leaven that has entered into a nation and has been unchecked.
Right.
You say, well, who didn't check it? The pastors of the nation.
That's right.
Not the politicians.
Right.
In fact, the politicians are a result of that leaven sneaking into the nation.
Right.
It's a result of the pastors not doing their job.
Right.
You understand? Right. You know, everyone wants to complain about Biden, but we deserve Biden.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Everyone wants to complain, and I hate him, okay, obviously, you know, he's wicked, but let me just say this, is that he's a reflection of our nation, and he is exactly what we deserve. He's like, no, he's not, he's dumb. It's because this nation is dumb. The nation is wicked, it's dumb, it's he's a pervert, and you know what, it's a reflection of our nation. The nation chose him. He didn't have to try to rig the elections. This is just what our nation deserves. But that is the devastating ramification of just a little leaven. The pastors chose not, they chose to relinquish their right to preach the word of God. They relinquished their responsibility to be a light. They relinquished their right to proclaim to their congregations what our position should be as Christians towards politicians, towards whatever. They're like, well, you know, we got to vote in the right person or whatever. No, the hope of America is not in the White House, it's in the church house. But, you know, America's Babylon, so it's going to be destroyed anyways. But it all began because, you know, a little leaven came into the nation that went unchecked.
That's right.
Okay. And so, yes, you know, there is examples in the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 16, if you would. Matthew chapter 16. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter number 5. You know, this is all introduction, by the way, just talking about, you know, the devastating consequences of the bad type of leaven. We should never take that lightly and think to ourselves, well, you know, it's okay to just have a little bit of sin or have a little bit of false doctrine or just have a little bit of this. No, because that's exactly how it becomes worse. It waxes worse and worse in the long run if it goes unchecked. And you know what? Sometimes in a church, spiritual surgery needs to be done to remove that leaven from the body of Christ in that local congregation, you know, if it's gone unchecked. And you know what? I can see why a lot of old IFB churches don't want to do that because it takes a lot of work. You know, if you've permitted a lot of false doctrine, if you've tolerated and compromised in a lot of areas, you know, it's a little uncomfortable to just turn around and just say, all right, I'm going to start preaching hard on fags or, you know, preaching hard against fornication and drunkenness.
Right.
You're probably going to chase out half of your congregation, but you know what? At least you'll save the body.
Right?
Yeah, you might have to remove the arm. You might need to remove the leg, but at least you'll save the body.
That's right. That's good.
And you know what? Unlike the physical body, at least you can grow a new arm in the church. You can grow a new leg in a church. You can reach more people. And God will honor that. Okay, look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 9 says, "Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets he took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" He's saying, you better watch out some of this doctrine that's out there by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the reason he's saying this is because of the fact that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the spiritual leaders of Israel, and therefore they had a platform. And everyone listened to them, right? And so he's telling them, you know, he's not telling them, don't listen to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's just saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, our type of churches, we don't say, hey, you know, don't listen to so-and-so. We just say, beware of that preaching. You know what I mean? And one of the ways we help them to beware is by teaching them the right doctrine so they can prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So when they hear some stupid teaching out there, they're like, this is dumb. This is not biblical. I want nothing to do with this. Okay, look at Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. You know, a little leaven can really destroy a person, a church, a nation. But, you know, on the other hand, the Bible also gives examples, not just of leaven being negative, but it's also essentially a positive thing too. Because it's just an illustration, you understand? There's nothing inherently simple about leaven. It's just being used to exemplify a spiritual truth. Right. And it's a powerful illustration to prove what sin can do, but it's also a powerful illustration to show what one person can do. The influence and the impact that one individual can have on a life, can have on a church, and can have on a nation. Okay? You say, well, what do you mean? Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So what do we see here? We see Adam screwed it all up. And it was one man, and that's why we're here. Sweating, trying to get people saved and stuff, because salvation is needed. You know, you understand? And, you know, we're in the situation that we're in because of one man's offense. Because he was just henpecked. He was listening to his wife, and he ate of the fruit and damned all of mankind. Look at verse 17. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," listen to this, "much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made righteous, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous," the Bible says. And so we see here, or made sinner, excuse me, "so by the obedience of many shall..." "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." What is it saying? Just as Adam had a negative impact upon the world, well, in like manner, Jesus Christ had a very positive impact upon the world.
Right.
His death essentially freed us.
Right.
His death can free anybody who believes on him. And so go back to Luke 13, if you would. Luke 13. Because this is all going back to what we see here in this parable, where he says, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." So he's saying, you know, the kingdom of God is like a woman taking leaven and placing it into 3 measures of meal, and then it begins to spread till the whole bread is essentially leavened. And then he just stops the illustration. Doesn't explain it. Doesn't shed light on it. He just gives that illustration. But then look what he says, the next verse says, "And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem." So isn't that interesting? The leaven goes into the 3 measures of meal, and what does it do? It spreads till the whole is leaven. And then immediately after that, what does Jesus Christ do? He goes through the villages and cities, right? Teaching, journeying towards Jerusalem. You say, what's the application there? He's like that leaven going through the cities and villages. And you say, well, you know, yeah, but did he really make a difference? Of course he made a difference.
Right.
By one man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, never, you know, don't forget the amazing impact that one person can have.
Amen.
And what he's saying here is that, you know, never minimize the impact that you can have on a city and a village. You know, obviously we look at Belize, and, you know, I think about the fact that the first day, my soul winning partner and I, we had this massive map, okay, this huge area to do, and for the first hour, we're just lost. Because Brother Hike didn't know how to read the map. He's like, I don't know where I'm at, man. And then it's just, so we're walking down this street. We're just like Levin, you know, these two guys just walking down the street. But then we get a bunch of people saved on that one street.
Amen.
And after like the sixth, seventh, eighth salvation, then we realize what the name of the street is called. You're like, okay, I think I know where we're at now. And then, you know, people are looking at us, and he's kind of like turning the map. He's just like, and then finally this guy comes up, and he's like, what do you need, man? What do you need? What are you looking for? Because he sees that he's like struggling. And he's like, sir, can you, he's like, where are you looking to go? He's just like, I just want to know where I am on this paper. He's like, where am I on this paper? And the guy gives him directions, and they end up being really bad directions. But then Brother Hyde got him saved. So while the guy was trying to give us directions of where we're at in Belize, he ended up just giving them the directions to heaven.
Amen.
Right? And so the point that I'm trying to make here is that, you know, Brother Hike and I, we're nobody. We're walking through this one street through the cities and villages, but, you know, we just changed the eternal destination of like 12 people.
Amen.
In a matter of like 2 hours.
That's good.
Why? Because once the leaven goes in, we go to the whole is leavened.
That's right.
And so you may think, one street, what is one street going to do? One street just produced 12 people that now have eternal life.
Amen.
And so it makes an eternal impact that, yeah, we may not be able to see at this very moment, but in the eternal, it's there.
That's right. That's good.
And so Jesus is saying, you know, it's like a woman who takes that leaven, she hides it in 3 measures of meal. It's just a little thing, but then it stays there till the whole is leavened. And that's what Jesus Christ was doing throughout his 3.5-year ministry. He was going through the cities and villages preaching the kingdom of God, and it produced a movement.
Amen.
A movement of soul winners that ended up going beyond Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And that's why we're here today, amen?
Amen.
Because they reached the Gentiles, they reached the unsaved, and you know what? We're here in Belize today because some Jews out there actually obeyed the gospel. And they reached people, and then who ended up reaching people, who ended up reaching other people. Yes, you heard right, the Jews, yes. Hey, these guys actually, you know, they're Peter and them, they were, well, not Peter, but Paul, you know. Paul actually was doing his job.
Amen.
Right. You say, what's the point of the sermon? The point of the sermon is to explain to all of us, or to remind us, should I say, that our job isn't done till the whole is leavened. And you know what's great about serving the Lord is that the work is just never done.
Amen.
It's just never done. But it doesn't mean that it's not satisfactory.
Amen.
Because even though, you know, at this point, let's say we just left at this point, there's only 279 people, which it's not only.
Yep.
That's a lot of salvations.
Amen.
There's 279 people that have gotten saved in 3 days. Even if we were to leave at this moment, you know, the work is not even done.
Right.
But we leave satisfied.
Amen.
We leave rejoicing. We leave knowing that a difference was made. And look, you know, being in Belize is just the cherry on top because people actually say thank you.
Right.
You like witness to them and they're just like, thank you.
Right.
I talked to this girl, she got saved, and I was like, do you have any questions? And I'm thinking, you know, end times or, you know, what kind of Bible or whatever, you know. She's just like, yeah, I have a question. Is there a church that I could attend that teaches this? It's like, you're just like, this is sad, you know? And, you know, she's just like, I want to attend a church that teaches this. And what do you tell them? You're just like, you know, there's not a church out here. Like, I said, there's a Baptist church. I was like, email the church and we'll find you a church out here. But that's all she wanted, you know? Whereas over there, it's just like, good night in the morning. You know, it's just like, it's hard to bring people to church sometimes.
Yeah.
You understand? But here's the thing is that, you know, yeah, we were only able to finish one street, not even one street. We knocked on one door this entire trip.
Yep.
My sewing partner, and I can't even say we knocked, I yelled. I was like, hello, is anyone? And then she ended up like rejecting me. She was just, I was like, all right, whatever. Most of the people we got saved were just on the street.
Yep.
And from a carnal perspective, you may think to yourself, oh man, you guys didn't even finish anything. But hold on a second. We did. We accomplished the work that we were sent to do, which is to preach the gospel and just get a bunch of people saved. And you know what? Yeah, we're going to keep coming back throughout the years. You say, when is the work going to stop? Till the whole is leavened.
Right.
You know what? This is the same attitude that we need to have as Christians when we're growing in our faith. Oh, man, when am I going to just arrive? You're never going to arrive this side of eternity. You're to read your Bible till the whole is leavened.
Amen.
You're to keep praying till the whole is leavened. Amen. You're to keep working on yourself as a Christian till the whole is leavened.
Amen.
You say, well, when is that? It just doesn't happen this side of eternity. So you're just, but here's the thing is that you will abide satisfied if you're striving for that goal. If you're constantly striving to be more like Christ, to read the Word of God, to learn more of the Bible, to get more people saved, yeah, you'll never apprehend that which you're apprehended of, but you know what? It'll motivate you to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Till the whole is leavened.
Amen.
And so, you know, we need to realize that the work is never finished. But just because the work is never finished doesn't mean we can't feel accomplished. I'm going to be going on the plane back home, and we got Thanksgiving next week.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to be thanking the Lord for everyone who got saved.
Amen.
Because this week has been such a blessing.
Right.
To see all these people who are just receptive towards the gospel and the sweetness of the children. I mean, I talked to this kid today. He was coming out of the school, and, you know, I started talking to him. And I say, are you 100% sure that if you die today, you go to heaven? And he's like, I'm not going to heaven. And the kid's like 12 years old. And I was like, okay. And then he said, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a sinner. He goes, and I've committed sin. And so that's why I'm not going to go to heaven. And he wasn't being prideful. He wasn't being condemning. He was just explaining his condition to me. And I'm thinking to myself, like, dude, you just finished my first point. And then you kind of think to yourself, like, oh, wretched man that I am. This little 12-year-old, you know, just kind of like, and then I was like, well, can I just show you? He's like, yes, please. And luckily, you know, he got saved.
Amen.
He got saved. And, you know, it brings a tear to your eye just thinking about people like this, that there's people that exist like this. But, you know, the work is never done here. The work will not be done where you're from. The work will never be done here, this side of eternity. We're to labor till the whole is leavened. Okay? Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Actually, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So we go till the whole is leavened. And just as Jesus was walking through the villages and cities, in like manner, he said, so send I you. We're to go through the villages and the cities and go and preach the gospel to every creature. And thank God that we are born in the greatest time in history where there's so much technology. This, you know, you guys can take, we can take a rental, we can take a bus, we can take, you know, you guys rent boats and stuff like that. There's all types of stuff. We could, you know, people back in the day, they couldn't just, you know, just fly over to Belize.
Yeah,
right. A 2-hour flight just to come and get 279 people saved. It wasn't like that. They would leave their families for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stories of people who sold themselves into slavery just so they can win the slaves in a particular island. We don't got to do that.
Yeah.
We don't have to do that. All we have to do is buy a ticket, come over here, have a great time as we're preaching the gospel, okay? So we don't stop until the whole is leavened. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Let me say this is that, you know, we need to keep spreading the gospel. And obviously we need to work on our Christian lives and learn the Bible better and wear the breastplate of righteousness and, you know, and have the helmet of salvation, gird our loins with truth, but make sure before you walk out the door that you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Right.
And, you know, soul winning cannot be emphasized enough. We need to make sure we keep soul winning on the forefront of our minds,
right,
that it is something that we love to do, that we desire to do, because we need to keep this thing alive. Amen.
Amen.
We need to keep it alive in the churches, the people that we win to Christ. We need to make sure that we teach them about soul winning.
Right.
When people come to church and we get them saved, we let them know what Christians do is soul winning.
Right.
We want to continue to spread the gospel, spread that leaven, the good leaven of salvation to those whom we influence, to those whom we win to Christ. Look what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Go to Acts chapter 4. You see, when people tell me, oh, you're spreading your hate, you know what I think? I'm like, cool. But I'm spreading. It's like, oh, you guys are spreading all your you know, sexist, misogynist views. But it's spreading, though. But you recognize that it's spreading. Because obviously, whoever these people are, they're never going to see, you know, the Bible from God's point of view or from our point of view. But as long as they recognize that it's spreading. Because our job as Christians is to get the word of God and to spread it as much as possible. You say, well, how do you spread it? Well, number one, don't be ashamed of it. You stand for the word of God. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed, you know, when you're at your little Thanksgiving dinner and you invite people over to your house. Maybe they're not Christians, but you're trying to, you know, don't be ashamed of God's word.
Right.
Don't be ashamed to bow your head and close your eyes and pray. You know, I'm ashamed that there's so many Christians that are ashamed to just pray. When you got like unsaved people here who are like 13, 12 years old, who have no problem praying in front of their friends.
Right.
They're just not ashamed to do it. Because we're at this school, you know, and, it, you know, we're preaching the gospel to them. And it's just like, I want to assist you in telling God what you believe in your heart. Bow your head and close your eyes. And their friends are walking by and they're just like, one kid was just like, he didn't care. You know, it's a different atmosphere. But, you know, you have a bunch of people out here in America who are ashamed of praying. You know, we want to spread abroad our faith no matter what we do. And our goal as Christians is to continually spread it. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 15. It says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them to not speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And just know this, whenever you have the motive, whenever you have the goal to spread the word of God, there's always going to be someone who wants to stop it. Whether it's your family, it's your friends, it's the reprobates of this world, they don't want that to spread to their arena. They don't want it to spread to the innocent of people of this world who want the truth because they know how powerful the preaching of God's word is. And so if people threaten you, oh, you can't say that, folks, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
And here's the thing, you know, we don't, they can shut down our channels. They can, shut down our social media outlets, but it's going to continue to spread no matter what.
Right.
It's going to spread no matter what. I mean, when we got protested and we got bombed, they did that with the intention that they thought that they were going to silence us. And I literally told them before, I said, if you kick us out of El Monte, this doesn't change the message. Like, I'm still going to be preaching about you guys. Just somewhere different. Like, if you kick me out of this city, I'm going to be talking about this city in another city. Because the message will continue to spread. And that's exactly what happened. We ended up moving to Anaheim. I preached, and then the fags called the sheriff of El Monte. He's still preaching. And then he called me. He's just like, hey, I hear that you're still like preaching. I'm like, yeah, I'm still preaching. I told you. You know, like, I told you I wasn't going to stop. It's just in a different location. And you know what? Yeah, they can shut down the channels, but people are still getting saved through Pastor Anderson.
That's right.
He's still reaching people no matter what. Because you can't stop the message from spreading.
That's good.
And so people are going to constantly try to stop you. But you know, as long as you're putting your foot forward to preach the message. And look, yeah, they might not be able to shut down our channels. But oh, you know, there's 279 people saved today in a different country. It looks like you weren't able to stop that.
Yep. Right.
The last I heard, you know, Pastor Thompson has started like his billionth church. The guy doesn't know when to stop. What is he doing? He's just spreading even further. He catches all this persecution, all this criticism. People hate what he says. And then he's just like, I'm starting a church. I'm just going to spread it even further. He's like, the people are like, we're going to sue you. And he's just like, start another church. Ah! He's like, people just don't know what to do with it because you can't stop the truth from spreading. As long as you're willing to keep going out and preaching the word of God and preaching the gospel and standing up for truth, they can say you can't preach like this. It doesn't matter. It's going to spread. And you say, why does it spread? Because people love the truth. There's people out there that just love the truth. And the narrative that they want to push is that, oh, no, people don't love the hate speech. But you know what? People, some people like hate speech. I'll just be honest.
Amen.
They like a little bit of that hate speech.
Amen.
They love it when people love the Lord and hate evil.
Right. That's
right. Go to John chapter 6, if you would. John chapter 6. And you know, you say, well, how much are we going to spread this till the whole is leavened? Till the whole is love. You know, Lord, when we can start a church here one day.
Amen.
Never know. You know, you just never know. And when we, if we were to, God willing, if we were to ever start a church here, we would, I mean, if they're this receptive towards the gospel, you kind of wonder how receptive they are to just righteousness just in general. I mean, Brother Glenn was telling me that he saw at some store, like if someone steals, they have to repay that tenfold. I mean, it's a little extreme, you know what I mean? Like it's beyond the biblical standard, but at least they had that rule. You know what I mean? I mean, I ran into some parents that are just like, or I'm sorry, no, I ran into a teenager. She was about 12. Her brother had gotten saved. Although you got her brother saved. Her name was Haley. And we're talking to them. And she was like, I was born in Chicago. I'm like, how long have you been here? She's like, since I was like 2. And I'm like, you guys ever planning to go back to the States? She's like, my mom doesn't want me to go back to the States. She wants us to finish school here because the schools are so bad over there. And she was basically saying, like, she's like, here, you know, discipline is so necessary. I mean, this is like a 12-year-old. She's like, and you know what? And she told me, she's like, if the parents don't discipline them, the schools will discipline them. Talk about whoopings. I was like, that's good stuff. She's, because they, and she said this, if they don't get disciplined, they won't know consequences. This is after she gets saved. I'm like, that's why you got saved, Haley. Because you understood that life has consequences.
Right.
And I said, you know, I didn't even know what to say, honestly. I was just like, tell me more. You know, like it was so refreshing to hear that. Why, while teenagers in America are just wondering whether it's some dude or whatever or some chick, this girl's over here like, kids need to get spanked, you know?
That's good.
It's amazing, okay? But, you know, if they're already in, let me just say this. Let me just chase this rabbit. Okay, because you kind of wonder, like, why is it so receptive here? Why are people so different here? Why are they so open to the gospel? And here's my theory as to why they are. I believe, okay, listen to this. I believe that us being here is God's gift to Belize.
Amen.
Because they're responding to the light that God has given to them.
Right.
They're responding to righteousness. They're responding to righteous truths. And so you know what God does when people respond to the light? He just sends his elite to just go and get them saved.
Amen.
That's what he wants. So I believe soul winners being here is God telling Belize, like, I want these people to be saved.
Amen.
Because they're responding to the light. They love righteousness. They're seeking out righteousness. Obviously, if they die in that state, they're gonna go to hell, obviously. You understand? But because they're responding to the light that God has given to them, and they love innocence and righteousness and justice, even though they're kind of going about to establish their own righteousness, you know, he's willing to send soul winners out from a different place to get them saved.
Right.
And so, you know, it's important for us to think because, you know, you think of what you see out there in America, and I love the United States as far as, like, the people are concerned. I want them to be saved. And there's a lot of good preaching out in America, amen. But, you know, it would be good if we can have that here.
Amen.
It'd be wonderful. And I think, like, whoever comes here would succeed exceedingly.
That's good. Yeah.
Like, you'd be ahead of the game in a lot of areas, okay? Because of the fact that, you know, people already have this mindset and innocence is there and the love for justice and righteousness is there. They just need to be directed to what the Bible actually says.
Amen.
Now, here's my last point is this, is that when you think about it, you know, when leaven is placed into bread, it doesn't until the bread, what, it rises, right? And so, you know, this is a great picture of what our job is when we go out and preach the gospel. So why is that? Because we as the leaven go out into the cities and villages and different countries and nations to preach the word of God so that the people in that nation, like that bread, will rise again in the last days. Look at John chapter 6, verse 39. It says, "This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day," the Bible says. You know, I talked to someone today, and he said, "Can you explain to me reincarnation?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "It's not real." Next question. I said, reincarnation is the bootleg version of the resurrection. Because reincarnation teaches you to come back like as a butterfly or something. That sucks. Resurrection is that one day you'll come back in a glorified form. Like God's going to raise you up again in the last day. And when that person got saved, it made me think of this. It's like the leaven came here. He saved. And you know, the new man rose in his heart. But I'm probably never going to see that person ever again. No. Who knows? But I will see him in the last days when he's resurrected.
Amen.
And you know what? You may not be able to see how many people you've gotten saved, or the lives you've been able to change, but you will see it when the whole is leavened.
Amen.
And everyone who you've won to Christ, all the people that we've reached through every missions trip, all the soul winning trips, when we see the dead in Christ rise first, we see to the whole is leavened, and it's risen because of that gospel leaven that spread to them years ago. Don't undermine the impact that one person can have. You know, I think of my father-in-law. My father-in-law, you know, he was a pastor. He started a church. And, you know, he invested a lot in me. This is before he was my father-in-law. He was my pastor, and he invested a lot in me. And, you know, he had this accident in 2013 that essentially disabled him, where he's just bedridden. He's been bedridden for essentially the last 10 years. And he can't serve God. Like, he can't physically serve God anymore. He can pray, he can read, he can commune with his family, but he'll never get back to what he was able to do before, preach the gospel, disciple others. But he invested so much in my life, so much good leaven went into my life from him, that you know what, he's probably going to get rewards even for this here. Because I was reached, and now I became a pastor, led a congregation, trained soul winners, having missions trips. I mean, he's going to receive the reward of his labor for that little leaven.
Amen.
Don't undermine what a little investment can do in a person's life.
Right?
Don't undermine what the gospel can do in that little boy, in that little girl. Don't undermine what that little love, the little message, that little investment, that little compassion can do in a person's life. It can spread like wildfire. When do we stop? Till the whole is leaven, amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this trip, Lord. And thank you so much for soul winners who love souls. And I love communing and fellowshipping with people who are willing to just do all that they can to go to a different nation and preach the gospel to strangers and love them enough to suffer the heat and suffer just being tired and resources and sacrifice a lot because they want to see people saved. And I pray that you'd help us to spread like leaven throughout the breads of this world, the cities and villages, till the whole is leaven. And Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. We obviously don't deserve it, Lord, but we're so privileged to be able to serve in your ministry. And I pray that you bless these last couple of days, Lord. Help us to get more people saved and carry this with us back to the States and think upon those we led to the Lord, and may it continue to motivate us to see more people saved. We love you and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.